Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, to rom-coms, why do I keep calling them rom-coms? There's something Freudian in that. Rom-coms. They're meant to make us feel good, but what happens when the grand gestures start looking like red flags? The Notebook gave us the ultimate love story. But watching it through a modern lens, some of Noah's behaviour looks less romantic and a bit more alarming. So has the romance aged badly? We did come across a fascinating, I suppose, takedown of The Notebook on social media. A feminist ruins The Notebook. I'm delighted to be joined now by clinical psychotherapist Stephanie Regan. Stephanie, have we misjudged The Notebook, and is it something we need to be very kind of concerned about, because there's some dark messages in it, possibly.
There's a lot. Hiya, John.
Sorry, I should have said hello.
Yeah, not at all. And lovely, nice to talk about this. It's always, I find these, I like rom-coms. I suppose I'm interested in what they tell us about love and what they tell us about relationships and what people extract from them. Mm. I think you've got to be careful, though, I have to say. Concerned. I think you have to, there's nothing that, there are things now you would look at in Notebook, right? And with the lens of the way we're looking at it now, I think it was made in 2004. Mm. And it's written, you know, it's set in the 40s. So it's an old style film. It's certainly not what we know about relationships now in 2026. You know, where we have a whole great language now around relationships. People, and I do think it's helpful. People understand boundaries, they understand consent, they understand toxic behaviors, red flags, all of this. But that language wasn't really there. I mean, we see things in that. I can look at that. You can look at it with any sort of person tuned in to relationships in any way at the moment would look at that and say, well, he was really, you know, she said no. She didn't want to go out. You know, Ali in the film just says no, didn't want to go out with him. And he kind of swings himself off the high end of a Ferris wheel too and says, if you don't do this, you know, if you don't go out with me, I'm going to, you know, this wouldn't wash nowadays.
And, no, indeed.
But it's good drama. And for the time that it was also showing kind of, you know, it was all about, you know, well, passion, and he chose her, and he wants her, and what you wouldn't do for love, and all these sort of little kind of, how would you say, little narratives that work very well in drama. But I think we do have to learn now. I mean, if I was looking at a film that is being made now, I would be looking and saying, well, how do they treat that? Mm. Do they treat that as okay, or do they treat that as something odd or potentially toxic?
Yeah, so the fact that, like, the Ryan Gosling character, you know, threatens to take his own life and not be with her. I mean, is it, you know, and I know people, as soon as I say this word, are going to start texting in, complaining. But is it the case that a movie like that now should contain a trigger warning saying this contains a reference to blah, blah, blah?
I don't think it's triggering. And I'll tell you why. Because even if I look back, funny enough, yesterday I had time on my hands and I had a little peep back at Notebook, which I wouldn't have seen for a long time. And I just peeped back at it. And what really struck me was it's a piece of behavior, right? Now, it didn't happen again. It wasn't like there was a pattern. And it's quite important, I think, to separate out a dramatic piece that maybe is bad behavior, you know, like somebody, I don't know, pushing, slapping. There was some of that, for example, in it as well. Yeah. But it wasn't, you know, it's not accepted as right. Now, in the film, it kind of was. I would correct myself on that. But we know enough to know that's not right. Yeah. And that's not the way it was. We behave. But it wasn't done with a view or with, you know, it wasn't shrinking her, controlling her, subduing her, cutting her off from other people. So you have to look at the intention of it. It was a display, not one that you might think is absolutely PC and you wouldn't be doing it in the workplace, but it's a film.
Yes, you know, no, indeed it is.
They're allowed.
Yeah. And what about his other great romantic gesture? That's Noah, the Ryan Gosling character. He kind of restores her dream house after they've parted ways, is my memory of it. I mean, was that kind of a cruel thing to do, to give her all she wanted after they were no longer together?
Yes. Well, that's another way of, you know, of looking. He was big on the grand gestures. But, you know, there is something toxic you know, in that. But again, as I say, you're looking at it with a modern lens. You have to look back. You take the more modern films. When I was speaking with your producer there, I was mentioning one or two that I had recently watched myself, and I'm trying to find my little piece of note on it. And one of them was Love at First Sight.
Right.
And I just came upon it. You know, the way you come upon, you know, you're searching for something just to kind of relax with. And it was a very healthy kind of, a very authentic kind of couple who met on a plane and, you know, we had a little bit Love Actually style, you know, lots of niceness around and all of that, a bit of Christmas coming up. It had all the little romantic kind of pieces to it. But they also, there was a lot of what I would call the very modern day kind of consensual piece in it. There was a lot of authentic kind of life stories going on. Mother having cancer, the guy dealing with him, you know, another fallout in his own family. There was, you know, I thought it, to me, it was very real, and it was still just as magical. And it wasn't this sort of, you know, big, you know, wild declarations of love. And it didn't have anything that you would see as questionable. And I kind of thought, that's kind of interesting, because that's made just 2 years ago. So in some ways, our films, you know, I mean, you're a film buff, I'm not, but films are art. They reflect the society as it is and kind of cultural kind of things that are going on. And so they reflect that. And I think that has changed. And you'll see that, you know, when you look at it the way you and I are looking at it today, we're kind of saying, well, what are they saying about control? What are they saying about consent? What are they saying about women? You know, is it equal? Is it not?
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Okay. Thank you for referring to me as a film buff. I asked my producer to tell every guest to refer to me as that, but you're the only one who did it. So thank you. Tell me this. I was thinking about this, though, and there are so many movies we could go back through and point to in the past, and this, you know, seen through a very contemporary gaze, no longer sits well, and maybe there should be trigger warnings and stuff like that. But, and we can't do all that. But one I often think of, and I'm curious your thoughts on it, is Pretty Woman, because some people view that as the great love story or one of them of all time. And it is a great love story. But in another way, it is also about a man hiring a prostitute. And it is the most transactional love affair you can imagine in some ways. I mean, is that problematic nowadays?
Well, is it problematic? You see, you have to say, in what way is it problematic? We look at films to see something of what we know to be true, and we go with the fantasy. I mean, these aren't documentaries, they're dramas.
Yeah.
And, you know, dramas allow us to imagine. And I think in the love world, they allow us to sort of see something that we like, something that we find humorous, something that we find joyful. And I think in the case of Pretty Woman, you know, it was the kind of rags to riches, wasn't it? And it was also there was something in it about seeing her authentic self, wasn't it? Seeing beyond the, so there's many layers to it. I think also then there was some power in her story, you know, that she was able to kind of, in many ways, step into this new role and away from the other role and have power, have financial power. Now, you know, we're not saying this is the way we want to live or we think it's the way women should live, but it's a story, and it's a story that gets us to focus on different pieces. And, you know, different pieces of truth, isn't it? And there was some truth in it that, but a good drama. I mean, there's many others. Like I was looking this morning briefly at, you know, if you remember in Love Actually, right? Now, we wouldn't say there's an awful lot in Love Actually that's very toxic. But if you think about it, somebody again had written around this, and I thought this was interesting, that the secret filming of Keira Knightley, do you remember the fellow who did the secret filming? Well, like, what would we be saying about that now? We'd be saying, like, what kind of a weirdo is doing that?
Yeah, absolutely.
At his best friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And isn't that stalky? And then knocking on her front door and doing all this, you know, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And how uncomfortable is that? And what could she do with that? And I think that's quite interesting. That's not a very long ago. Well, I suppose it is a certain length of time ago, but it's still very accepted as a love actually, as a very good film and a pretty appropriate film.
Yeah.
But in there, I'm just saying, stalking, we hadn't really thought about that, had we?
No.
And I know the director actually acknowledged that afterwards, that, yeah, it's a bit creepy now that we look at it. But it didn't feel so creepy then. It felt more like a display of longing, a display of desire, a display of, I suppose, infatuation.
Indeed.
But just because you're infatuated, is it always okay to express it? You know, so many things get sort of focused on in these. And I think once we move on, I mean, we had the whole reindeer thing.
Yeah, I baby reindeer, indeed. Well, indeed. Listen, the takeaway seems to be there is a fine line nowadays between a stalker and romantic. I've been talking to Stephanie Regan, clinical psychologist, about if we should review The Notebook in contemporary terms. Stephanie, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.